This is Glenn Helzer with World of Radio, number 1259. Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded January 5th, Tsunami Roundup, VOA Frequency News, New QSLs for 2005, Brother Stare back in court, Brazilian and African reactivations and new frequencies, a Kurdish mystery, inauguration protest station, and the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer. First, about World of Radio, there have been some time changes on WBCQ. We've been filling in an open slot Monday through Thursday at 22 UT on 9330. But now that's been turned over to Gene Shepard, some old-time radio programs. Furthermore, we're no longer heard Saturdays at 2130 UT, on 17495. The remaining times on WBCQ are Wednesdays at 23 on 7415, UT Thursdays at midnight on 17495, UT Sundays and Mondays at 0400 on 9330, and Mondays at 0530 on 7415. There's been a tremendous amount of news about the earthquake, tsunami, and its aftermath in South Asia. As always, I can only mention a few high points here, but refer you to DX Listening Digest at worldofradio.com if you'd like to read all about it. Several of the countries hit had already been subject to human-inspired strife, and that mixes in with the earthquake and tsunami situation. The Maldive Islands, for instance, Jeff White of WRMI tells us that the Radio Minivan producers, who had been only doing a new show every few days or maybe once a week, started doing a new one-hour program every day because of the tsunami crisis. They say that Radio Minivan is one of the few ways of getting info to the people in the outlying islands. The schedule is 16 to 17 UT on 11810 via Germany, and also they have audio archives on their website. Although the Maldive Islands were pretty much overlooked at the outset, news began emerging later, and attention to them. Jim Renfrewith refers this to a Democracy Now! Broadcast. Amy Goodman was interviewing someone from the Maldives and the Sri Lankan ambassador to the UN, Bernard Gunatilaka. We only wonder if he's any relation to the DXer Victor Gunatilaka, about whom more in a moment. We'll include a link to that Democracy Now! Broadcast. Another Sri Lankan DXer from years ago, Sarat Virakun, has been living in the Maldive Islands, where he manages a bank, and Wolfgang Büschel has remained in contact with him. He was glad to hear that he was able to survive the tsunami, going to a higher floor of the building. Alokesh Gupta in India quickly informed us that Victor Gunatilaka was okay by contacting one of his VOA monitoring colleagues. Later on, Victor Gunatilaka circulated some email messages informing us that none of his family or close friends were killed, though the death toll was rising. He's also president of the Amateur Radio Society in Sri Lanka, and of course immediately went into action, establishing communications. In many cases, shortwave was the only means of communicating with other media wiped out. Sri Lanka is home to several powerful shortwave relay stations, notably Deutsche Welle's at Trincomalee on the northeast coast, where it might have been hit by the tsunami. However, Wolfgang Büschel monitored some of their scheduled frequencies a few hours later and found them still going. Later, Kim Elliott heard from someone at Deutsche Welle in Germany about the Trincomalee relay. It's a bit inland and was not damaged, although at the time they weren't sure if all the people working there were okay. However, on January 5th, the Italian DXer Andrea Bonigno, who was already visiting India, reported to BCL News that there was no signal at all from the medium wave relay at Trincomalee of Deutsche Welle on 1548. How about monitoring SLBC itself? Scott Barber in New Hampshire was hearing 9770, December 28th, opening at 1227 UT, but weaker than usual. Not sure if they were running at reduced power. I checked the SLBC website and found they had links about aid and to live audio from two of their services. One of them is called City FM, and although the name is in English, it seems it's broadcasting in Sinhala. Not sure if there are any English segments, nor on the Tamil service, but if you want to take a look, it's www.slbc.lk. In the Benelux DX Club, Max van Arnhem also found a website at All India Radio dealing with the tsunami. It's allindiaradio.org/tsunami with a capital T dot htm. DXers and DX organizations have been prompting people to contribute aid. One of them is Christoph Rotzer, the ADX group in Austria. It's www.a-dx.com. Of course, DX listeners immediately tried to hear known shortwave stations in the area. The hardest hit Sindh City in India, Chennai, is on 4920. That was heard by Roberto Pavanella in Italy at 1650 UT with funereal sitar music on December 29th. However, there didn't seem to be national mourning going on. I checked the far out of band frequency of All India Radio, 10330, on New Year's Eve, and they had a comedy program at 1439. I also monitored for the arrival of the new year in India at 1830 UT on 9425, but nothing special was done, just a time signal and into the usual news in English. In the Benelux TX Club, Max van Arnhem reminds us of Kodar. Those ocean wave radars, which are so annoying with their swish, swish, swish sounds on various shortwave frequencies, but they are to detect ocean waves. This might well have helped warn of the tsunami if they'd been functioning in South Asia. Amateur radio, of course, suddenly became a vital and often only means of communication, and this was covered in great detail by www.arrl.org. There was a question about whether third-party traffic would be allowed, and the answer was that in an emergency, the FCC waives the rules preventing it in certain countries. However, other countries also need to do that. But then there was so much health and welfare traffic, people inquiring about their relatives, that the ARRL concluded there was no way it could all be handled, just not enough hams in the affected areas. Thanks to John Norfolk and Mike Terry for passing on some of that. There is an All India Radio station which has been quite a DX target on the Andaman and Nicobar Islands, closest to the epicenter, Port Blair on 4760. Yari Savalainen reported that on December 28th, it continued on the air past its normal close-down time, taking phone calls and giving contact numbers. It finally closed at 1835. It so happened there was a de-expedition already in progress in the Andaman Islands, and they quickly turned to disaster communications instead. There have been several stories about this in the press in the U.S. and elsewhere. Some of the affected countries were not so cooperative, notably Myanmar or Burma, which would not allow the press in, so we're still wondering how severe the damage was there. And some stations with international broadcasts failed to report on it at all. We can't understand why. Roberto Pavanello reported listening to Radio Thailand on December 27th in French at 2015 UT on 9535 with no mention of the tsunami. Furthermore, the Voice of Indonesia as late as December 29th, their Spanish broadcast, monitored by Alan Gonzalez in Venezuela at 1708 on 15150, had not one word about the disaster. Could it have been a newscast pre-recorded several days earlier? En route to Radio 1258, I remarked about the letters KVTO being associated with Sound of Hope, that clandestine on shortwave for China. Actually, that is a U.S. call sign. Apparently, the station in Berkeley, California, where the program originates, on 1400. There's been a sudden change of frequency by the megawatt relay of Voice of America in Poro, Philippines. Been on 1143 kilohertz for many years, although it has done some tests on nearby frequencies. But now, as of January 1st,